Jesus at prayer. This is always one of Luke's prominent themes. From the very beginning of Luke's story, the gospel is pervaded with an aura of prayer. Think of how he opens up the gospel. In the first episode, the temple scene, where Zechariah, the high priest, is burning incense while the entire congregation is gathered outside in prayer. And then further along, when the prophet Anna appears, worshiping night and day in the temple, never leaving the area. I think how many times we find Jesus in prayer before all of his major events in his life. At his baptism, before his choice of the 12 disciples, before Peter's confession to him as the Messiah, at the transfiguration, when he assures Peter that he will pray for him that his faith may not fail, before his arrest on the Mount of Olives, and lastly, while on the cross. So Jesus today teaches his disciples this prayer because they've asked him for his help. This form of the prayer is a short one as opposed to the longer version in Matthew that was adopted by the church and that we use in the liturgy today. Luke shows us that this simple prayer is all we need. We praise God as the Father. We acknowledge that we want what he wants, and we trust in him to look after us. We also recognize our need for forgiveness and our willingness to forgive others. And then finally, we ask that in our life of faith, we will not have to endure anything that will cause us to lose that faith. And then Luke has Jesus teach us with this common everyday reflection. The story takes place in the midst of village life, where the unexpected arrival of a guest late at night causes a temporary crisis. Now, hospitality is of supreme value in the Middle East, both in Jesus' time and now. Life was precarious for rural presence. In Jesus' day, bare subsistence was the predominant mode of existence. Many factors, such as drought, famine, floods, even the birth of another child, which resulted in another mouth to feed, could tip the balance and put the small farmer into debt. Taxation was exorbitant. Herod, the procreators, the landlords were all taking a cut. In this type of system, village solidarity was essential to survival. So what's presumed in this parable is that the honor of the whole village, not just the host, is tied up in the treatment of the guest. When the host calls out his need to his friend at midnight, the likelihood is that all of the neighboring houses will be awakened as well. With the honor of the whole village at stake, all who give aid will arise and do so. By the standards of Middle East hospitality, no one would think of telling the host to go away and not bother them because they are sleepy. The parable expects the listeners to react with horror. Such a disgrace is unimaginable. In fact, it is an honor, not an annoyance, to be asked for help, contribute something to the reception of the guest. The focus of the message in this parable is often looked upon as a need for persistence in prayer. But as we hear in our responsorial song today, God has compassion in dealings with us, and truth, meaning that God is faithful to the promises he has made. God does not look at us according to the opinions of human beings. God reaches out to those most in need, and he fills them with his blessings. So I venture to say our need is not just persistence in prayer, but in continual prayer. There is another important aspect of this prayer that Jesus taught us. It is a prayer of a group, even when somebody says it privately. It is a prayer to our Father. We say, "Give us this day. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It means we are all praying as a single group, the people of God. There is in the Christian community a need for prayer at fixed times. Prayer is the glue that holds a community together. Remember, before the early Christian community had gospels to read at their service, they had prayers to unite them. What kept them together was regular practices as a community and its memories recalled in community. To be a Christian is to be a member of a group, the community of the people of God. Not just to be one more individual who buys into a philosophy or a spirituality. Christians have lost to a large extent the importance of prayer at regular times. Yet all human experience of religion, not to mention our experience from the very first days of our church, shows us that regular, formal prayer is essential to preserve our sense of God. Christians also have lost the sense that when we pray, it's not my prayer or your prayer, but our prayer in our prayer to Jesus. The sense of a common time uniting separated people is something that used to be reinforced by the Angelus bell. By praying simultaneously, we are praying as one body, and I, by joining in at a given time, I join my prayer with that of the body in a kind of non-computer-based virtual prayer community. And what simpler prayer could there be than the Our Father? No matter how busy we are, no matter what we are doing, the Our Father can be on our lips. A recovery of the practice of everyone saying the Our Father, morning, noon, and evening, is the basis of a renewal program for the whole church. And it doesn't need a single meeting